Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Vince Thompson joining us now. Vince, welcome back, Rush to Reason. How are you today, sir?
Hey, John. Greetings from Atlanta.
How are you, sir? What's the weather like in Atlanta today?
Well, yesterday was just magnificent. Just a little teaser of spring. Today, a little cooler and gloomier, but you know, March is a tricky month in the South. They only call it spring break. It's not necessarily really spring break.
All right, and you are the chairman, CEO of Melt, and we've had you on before again, as I said a moment ago. For all of you listening, I enjoy talking to Vince, and this is a great topic. Headline for you: did COVID downtime make you lazy, or did you improve your skill set? And I'm afraid, Vince, that the majority of people got lazy, because that's what I see on my own. I'm not trying to be negative, but I just don't see that many people have done the opposite.
Well, John, the new litmus for employees going forward is, what did you do to improve yourself, professionally or personally, or others during COVID? And that's going to be the new litmus test in the hiring. It's going to be that intangible. I mean, look, it's been rough on all of us.
Sure.
I mean, I've been in...
Sure.
You know, lost millions in business overnight, worked many, many days by myself, lost tons of my workforce, but I didn't lose anybody that I loved. And I said, you know, there's a lot of things that I've been wanting to do, and made a list and just started kind of marking them down. And so, you know, these are the things that are going to be the deciders going forward, because it has been. You know, the other thing I think we're all going to learn is empathy, because everybody has handled this differently than
right.
others. And I've
right.
even seen it break down generationally. The younger generation, who's not really experienced the tumble cycle of us older folks, seem to have been hit a little harder because...
No, they've never had any adversity, Vince. I mean, not being mean or rude. I'm just pointing out the facts. I mean, let's face it. We, you know, I look at my own kids, and yeah, I mean, they've had a little adversity being, you know, in the family of self-employed individual, which brings on its own set of challenges, as
right.
you would already know. But outside
right.
of that, I mean, I look at my own kids, and how much adversity have they really had? And frankly, not a lot.
Well, I let me tell you this: long term, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to them, because overnight, it went from a seller's market to talent to a buyer's market. These kids had high expectations. I want to be the CEO in 3 months.
Right.
Doesn't work out. I'm going to flip out and go to another job. It doesn't
right.
matter the impact that it has,
right.
you know, on the employer. And that flipped overnight. So I do think some humility is going to be inserted into the process, and patience. And you know, hey, I'm not going to be the CEO overnight. And then I need to be a little satisfied with where I am and what I'm doing right now, and do the best that I can, because I'm telling you, prior to COVID, that did not exist.
No,
with
no,
the
you're right.
Of
no,
a
you're right.
Of people.
Well, in fact, Vince, I don't have the stats in front of me, but on average, we look at that, you know, millennial generation and even the generation after. What was the longest mm-hmm. time they spent in a job? 3-4 years max, I want to say. Am I about right?
Well, I mean, if you break it down generationally, our parents maybe had two jobs, probably one. Our generation had 3, maybe 4. That was the 7 to 8 to 10 is not uncommon. And then not only that, it was like, and by the way, maybe this is not wrong, but they, it was just a job, not work, not career, not commitment. You know, like, all right, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get a dog. Then I got to go let the dog out. I got to get to you know, my exercise class at 4, and don't bother me at night, don't bother me on the weekends, and those types of things. And that's, you know, maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm my parents now, but that's, particularly as entrepreneurs, we do what we have to do.
You have to, Vince. You never stop.
Yeah. Yeah, but, and so it's going to be, I think this is going to wind up being good for them, because as you know, John.
I agree.
At some point, life invades, and you get married, you have children, you have mortgages, your parents, you know, get older, you get divorces. I mean, so like, I think this is a good sort of marinade or a seasoner. And I literally had this happen last week where I've begun, started hiring again in the event space, and a young person, one of the first hires I was going to make coming out to the other side of this, wanted to start negotiating with me. And I'm like, I got 1,000 resumes here.
There is no negotiation.
Yeah. Well, they told me to do that in school. I'm like, well, that just harkens back to the fact that you're maybe getting a good education in the walls. You're not getting a good dose of reality, because whatever professor or course taught them that just cost them a job.
Yeah. Yeah. And boy, so, that's, boy, you're a spot on, Vince. And I think that goes back to, you know, are we really giving kids, you said it a moment ago, you know, education outside of the walls of the institution? Because what you just said a moment ago, the answer is no. And if we're not doing this, we're leading these kids astray. Really, we are.
Well, let's think about this. I call it the playground rules. In the old days, I mean, you go to school to get socialized. You go to school to, you know, have a spat on the playground. And, you know, I mean, and now, you know, they have the SWAT team, DHS.
Right.
You know, tobacco and firearms. If there's just, look, I get it, but I learned a lot about what I knew about life on that playground, and I learned a lot about, you know, resolving conflict on those places. And it just, well, you don't even have PE anymore, so much less that. Much less, if we did have PE, conflict resolution and the socialization. And now, obviously, you know, the public schools aren't even going back. You know, it's even going to, I mean, we so
it's going to
be
worse. No. I appreciate what you just said there a moment ago. I think the fact that we've even kept kids out of school as long as we have, I may be wrong in this, Vince, but I think as an employer, you and I can look down the road several years and realize that we are going to have some really difficult times unless some things change overnight. And frankly, I don't see that happening. We're going to have different difficult times on the employment side, because some of these kids that are going to be coming out aren't going to have a clue how this works.
It's terrible. I mean, it's really terrible. I mean, like, who are these teachers' unions looking out for? Themselves or the students?
Themselves.
And we don't. And the lesser get punished, and we aren't going to be able to calculate the damage of this.
Both I agree.
And for many years. And here's the other thing: you look at the colleges. You know, they want it both ways. Oh, we're not going to go to class, but yeah, we want you.
But
to
we want full tuition.
Four.
That's right.
To sit in the room.
That's right.
To get a Zoom video. And hey, I've taught 30 or 40 Zoom classes. So I know, and by the way, these are good people, too. Some of them are good people. They're just going by the administration. And the notion of tenure, I got tenure about 1 minute beyond each day of my career.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing, don't get me started on this thing, because it's just, it's all upside down.
Well, you know, and Vince, you know, I've said this many times on air, and I'll keep saying it. Our entire education system in the United States of America, from, in my opinion, kindergarten all the way through even the postgraduate degrees, needs a complete overhaul, facelift. And yet, I don't think anyone's willing to look that in the eye dead on and fix it. We're going to just try to Band-Aid this thing. And that's not fixing anything, especially our kids.
No, it really is a disservice. And by the way, there's a ton of great teachers, tons of great teachers. And I think the whole thing's inverted. You got, professional athletes, and I'm being hypocritical, they're making $100 million a year. And these teachers and firemen and first responders, $30,000, $40,000 a year. I mean, if you look at the foundational aspects of this thing, I mean, there's some real problems. But I feel terrible for these kids, because a lot of times it was their only continuity, their place to go. They manage their social welfare. They got a good. They got a good, clean meal. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to be able to measure this for many years.
And real quick, I do want to comment on what you said a moment ago about the professional athletes, because I, like you, sometimes think, man, some of that is really, really lopsided. Until until, and you know this better than I, until you calculate all of the costs that that particular player has. And no doubt, even after the costs, they still make pretty good money, Vince. But the problem is, and we all know this, there's very few of them that make it more than 2.5 to 3 years in any right. of the professional sports they end up in. So while they may end up with a really, really huge contract, most of them are broke 5 years after because, A, the expenses are high, B, the entourage around them is, and they can't manage money.
Well, you also see the number is a misnomer. First of all, the shelf life of an average professional athlete is less than 3 years.
Right.
Secondly, you say, oh, this guy is making $10 million. Well, when you factor in the tax rate, let's round it up.
Tax rate and agent.
Then you've got an agent taking 3 to 5%, and then you've got managers on sponsorships taking 10 to 20%. Then you are down to like 20 to 30% of that $10 million. Now, granted, 2 to 3 million, but then many times, if they come out of situations that were socioeconomically challenged. By the way, if you gave me $2 or $3 million, I might mismanage it. It's a lot of money.
Right.
And so, and that's a whole other thing. Now, on the upside, I do like to see a lot of these athletes are beginning to get involved with these things. I don't always agree with LeBron, but he's building schools, he's encouraging others. You're going to see an influx into the HBCU schools, which is going to raise that standard. So I'm telling you, this, the 100-year pandemic is going to produce 100-year results, some good and some bad, but I do think it is going to force a lot of hard conversations on both sides of the aisle.
Well, I agree, and I appreciate you saying that, and I think, too, the other lesson here, and by the way, everything you just said a moment ago when it comes to these athletes and where they end up and so on, and there's also story after story of athletes, and I was just trying to find one here, and my son had sent me here a while back, and I can't remember the, outside of Michael Jordan, the one of the richest NBA players today, you know, past NBA players, who, by the way, never started. He didn't make a lot of money. He sat the bench a lot, right. But he did really well when he got out. He invested his money properly. He ended up with a Coca-Cola bottling franchise. I mean, on down the line we go, Vince, and this guy became a huge success because he yeah. did with what he had. You know, he took what he had, multiplied it, and did really well. He didn't just waste it like a lot of the ball players we read about do.
No, and I think you're going to have more and more of these stories because you're seeing these athletes involved in the SPACs. You see them on product development. You see them because you look at the generation of these athletes. And so, you know, they truly came from a lot of these situations, and I think a lot of them, you know, my old buddy Barkley used to say, I'm not a role model and those types of things. And then he and I, you know, would have these debates about it. But I, you know, like I said, I think we live in the most fascinating times ever because even if you come from a economically deprived environment, you still are the most sophisticated consumer there is. You
right.
still understand technology, still understand phones. I think we're going to see some great stories evolve out of this. And what I'm seeing in all these discussions that I'm having with both kids and a lot of professionals is that the traditional way of thinking is off the table. And I think you're going to see a lot of kids that are going to emerge from this and make it a golden age of entrepreneurship if we can get them through the tumble cycle. Because I'm telling you, the response my employee base had to COVID broke right down generational lines.
Mm.
And I'm talking about we took the safety measures and we did everything we needed to do, but the younger generation just it sent them into a tailspin, and the older generation that had kids and divorces and ex-wives and things to take care of, we're just like, you know, hey, we got to do what we got to do,
right?
And so right. But coming out of this, particularly in certain sectors, the unemployment is so high, it's not coming back. I had a conversation with an executive from a major food chain today. They're going to build restaurants in the future that don't even have service inside.
I was wondering if that was coming. That makes total sense,
it's
by
coming.
The way. No sense in having it. Why would you need it?
It's coming. And then you're going to, so we're going to see the trickle down of this, and you and I will continue to talk about this for a very long time, but to sum it up, I do think it's a a good wake-up call for this generation. I think they're going to have a greater respect for their parents. I think they're going to have a greater respect for somebody making a commitment to them on the job perspective, empathy, and maybe a little more patience and humility in the process, because it did not exist this time 12 months ago.
Yep, you're right. Chairman, again, and CEO of Melt, Vince Thompson, one of America's most successful sports marketing and branding agencies. Vince, how do they get the book, Build Brand You?
It's on Amazon.com or go to our website, MeltATL. But I'm telling you, everybody has a chance to do good and do better and do right and evolve themselves and then position it and tell the world, because these intangibles now are going to be the decider. You know, John, I used to say a fishing analogy, 100 casts to get 8 job leads,
right,
to get 2 hard job bites. It's going to be 500 now.
Yeah, true.
To get 8 to
true.
Get 2, because so many people are willing to take a lesser job.
True.
At a lesser wage, and it's going to suppress this entry-level
yep.
market.
Yep.
You got a kid paying 200 grand, 4 years going, wait a minute, what, wait?
Right.
So I'm telling you, it's going to be a reckoning in higher education.
I agree. Vince, I appreciate it. We'll have you back again, and I would like to do it more often even. I love talking to you, sir. I really do.
Thank you, sir, and you have a wonderful evening.
You do the same. Vince Thompson, again, folks, a great, great interview. Love talking to him. And CEO of Melt, you can look that up. Just it's M-E-L-T, just like a tuna melt sandwich, M-E-L-T. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next, folks. And again, this reminder of this last week of the snow we had is really just it's a precursor to what's going to come as we head through the rest of spring and then even into summer months. You need your vehicle. We've got to have it for transportation. A lot of you need it on a daily basis to get the things that you need done, not only with your family, but your job and so on. And the last thing you need are breakdowns in that vehicle. Lastly, I want to make sure I mention this. Vehicle prices are already increasing, and they're going to increase more. The cheapest, most efficient thing for you to do is keep the existing vehicle you have running, and I mean that sincerely. Yes, I'm not against people buying new cars. Pure 4 Chevrolet, great sponsor of ours. The problem is most people buy cars they don't need. You could take the car you've got and keep running it longer and be better off financially, and Extreme Auto Repair can help you with that. So go to Parker today. It's a 10274 South Ransfeld Road in Parker, 303-841-1071, or find him at klzradio.com.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair doesn't normally let their customers drive loaner vehicles to California, but they do keep their promises. It was right before Thanksgiving, and they had promised a customer he'd have his minivan back in time for his upcoming road trip. But they ran into an unexpected issue and had to order a new part, which wasn't going to arrive in time. He needed to get going, and they still had his car taken apart back in their service bays. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker had a quick discussion to figure out how they could still keep their promise. Fortunately, they happened to have a minivan available as a loaner vehicle at the time, so they decided to tell him to take it on his trip. They didn't charge him for mileage, and they made sure he was fully covered so he didn't need to worry. The team at Extreme Auto Repair will always do what they say. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, Franktown Firearms, folks, and hey, now is the time. If you ever thought about buying a gun, now is the time to do it. You can buy a gun, get trained on it, know exactly which gun to buy. They've got rentals right there in the showroom as well. Or if you want to try different guns to see which one you like the best, in case you've never shot before, or if you just want to go try out a new gun, do that as well. If you're an old timer like me that owns multiples, give them a call today, 720-770-7777, or again, find Franktown at klzradio.com.
Learn how to shoot with confidence at Franktown Firearms. Head trainer Karen Murray goes above and beyond Colorado state requirements in every course, from basic to advanced to tactical, providing practical training for real-world scenarios. Although the state of Colorado does not require lane time for CCW courses, you will shoot on the range during every class at Franktown because Karen believes your defensive shooting skills require practice. Classes are always small enough that everyone gets the instruction they need. For both members and non-members, the price of your class includes gun rentals, and the team at Franktown Firearms always keeps ammo in stock for you to purchase. Bring your own gun or rent one for no extra charge so you can try before you buy. Members receive a discount on all classes. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining me today. I do appreciate it very much. As I said to one of our texters earlier, the amount of times that Dr. Fauci and the like, what I mean by the like is we have our own here in the state of Colorado that are very much like Dr. Fauci. If you look at how many times these guys have been wrong in their predictions, it's a wonder we follow them at all. And I mean that sincerely. Now keep in mind, back at the Super Bowl, February 7th, the experts like Fauci called for huge spikes in COVID if we didn't, you know, stop gathering for the Super Bowl. Now, a lot of people still did. There was parties. We had one. You know, there was all sorts of things that went on in regards to the Super Bowl. And, of course, Fauci was predicting that because of a lot of those parties and so on, we'd have a spike in cases. Guess what? We haven't. Every single week, the COVID numbers have continued to go down. So before those of you out there throw me an email or a text message, even say, well, that's because we're all abiding by the mask rules and we're social distancing. Baloney. That's pure baloney. The reality is the virus is continuing to weaken. We have more and more herd immunity on a weekly basis. And a lot of these draconian measures that we have in place are just that. They've been put in by a bunch of Karens, i.e. the Dr. Fauci's of the world, which, by the way, if he had his way about it, nobody would ever leave their house. I've said that numerous times. That guy doesn't care. The only thing he cares about is his own wallet. He doesn't care about you, the subject. Not a citizen, by the way. I gave numbers this last hour, by the way, on what true pandemics are. We, by the way, are not in one, despite what the news media will tell you. And it's interesting, we've even seen definitions on Wikipedia, and I think even some of the dictionaries have changed their definitions. But I went back and looked at what a true definition of a pandemic is. And a true pandemic, this is the true definition, causes a high degree of mortality. Folks, that's not COVID-19. That's not what we've seen. I'll go through the numbers again. Worldwide cases, and I realize more people have probably had it than have gotten tested, but tested cases worldwide. Keep in mind, though, a lot of people have been tested more than once. They're still in this pool. Even with all that being said, worldwide cases, population, 7.5 billion people. It's like 1.5% worldwide. Deaths across the whole world, 0.03%. 0.03. So worldwide, you had a 99.97 chance of survival. Okay? USA. Cases, 8%. Yeah, our number's higher than the rest of the world. Why? Because we're free, folks. We do get to move around, roam around, go places. We don't have the government with their thumb on us. Well, not yet anyways. With their thumb on us, constantly telling us what we can and can't do. Yeah, we've had shutdowns, but folks, people have still moved around. Charlie and I, literally from the beginning of COVID, haven't changed a single thing that we've done other than maybe eating out because they wouldn't let us. But outside of that, Charlie and I both have done the exact same things we've done every single day of the rest of the year. We did that all the way through COVID. No issues. Right, Charlie? Didn't change a thing. Our habits were the same. And by the way, folks, we're not the only ones. There's a lot of you out there listening that didn't change any habits either. Yeah, you might have washed your hands a little more. You might wear a mask when you absolutely have to. But outside of that, you haven't changed anything. Our death rate, by the way, in the USA is 0.15% of our population. Yeah, again, we're higher. Why? We have older folks that live here. We also had knuckleheads like Cuomo, whatever you say his dumb name, Cuomo, who, by the way, is on the hot seat. We had guys like him, you know, shoving COVID patients into nursing homes and making the death rate even go higher. Wouldn't have been for those knuckleheads like him, who knows where we'd be. And I did do the math on this. The deaths just based on cases alone. So if you actually got COVID in the United States of America, your chance of dying is 1.8%. I actually think your chances of dying are probably higher on either public transportation or driving your car than that. But yet, we have shut down economies, plural, and yet we have places like South Dakota that didn't, that are shining examples, in Florida that did a much better job of handling this than the rest of the states did. But we'll talk to my son in a minute, Richard Rush. Don't go anywhere. Pure for Shirley's coming up next. I said a moment ago, yes, you can buy a new car, and they're getting more and more expensive. So if you want to buy one, I'd say do it now. On the same token, you can buy a used car there as well. Anything you want. They've got great, clean, used cars all checked out and are ready to go for you. Find them in Fort Lupton, 303-659-8311 or purefoychevrolet.com.
If you haven't walked through the Chevrolet showroom at Purifoy, it's a really fun experience. There's a guest book at the entrance, and you look through there. It's actually become sort of a vacation destination for Chevrolet enthusiasts who've come from other countries just to walk around and look at these gorgeous cars and purchase a vehicle. You know, you think of Fort Lupton as a small town, and it does have that small town personable feel, but the facilities at Purifoy Chevrolet are really stunning.
You know, I've had the chance to spend time with Rolly Purifoy, and he's such a genuine man. He is willing to do anything at that dealership. And in fact, we have seen him doing anything, washing windows, cleaning a floor, redoing the whole Corvette showroom. That's just who he is. He's a guy that is not afraid to get his hands dirty, to do the work. He's more of a servant leader than he is the leader that says, you got to go do this. So that makes me want to buy a car at Purifoy Chevrolet, and that should make you want to buy a car there too.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, folks, RoofMax. Dave Hart, who, by the way, weather's getting to the point where you need to be really looking at this closely and getting your roof rejuvenated. And right now, Dave is offering through the month of March a $200 off coupon. Just ask Dave about that. And by the way, this is one of the best things you could do to your roof. You can make it last longer, thereby saving money. And for those of you that may be thinking, well, if I just turn it into insurance, it's not costing me anything. Go read your policy. Chances are most of you have a percentage of the actual claim that you will be paying, not even just a flat deductible. And I say that because most folks don't even know what it says until they actually have that claim. So avoid the claim altogether. Get that roof rejuvenated today. Call Dave, 303-710-6916.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
All right, Affordable Interest Mortgage, if you have a question on your mortgage or you just want that free mortgage review, give Kurt a call today. He'll join us at 5 o'clock for our Monday Mortgage Minute. In the meantime, his number, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My son Richard joining us now. Richard, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing great.
You brought the sun.
Huh?
You brought the sun back.
Yeah, I did. Actually, it's not been a nice day today, actually. Very nice.
You know, people wonder, and I'm sure Kurt will, you'll attest to this, you know, why people move to Colorado and it stays like this, where,
yep.
you know, we are less than a week removed from, you know, 10 to 16 inches of snow, you know, around here in the Denver metro area. And then you have a day like today where it's only about 50, Dad, but it's, you know, we're so close to the sun. It just feels awesome out.
Right.
It's just gorgeous.
Right. No, it really is. So, okay, talk to us about sports. I know when I was gone, I saw the news of Tiger Woods and what happened there, and I have not been following any of that, so give us an update on what's going on there.
Yeah, so basically what ended up happening with Tiger is he, I guess in essence, a couple weeks ago, for folks that didn't know, he was hosting, and he didn't end up playing it because he had some surgery on his back, I think, re-surgery or his rehab and that sort of stuff, and so he didn't end up playing. But he hosts a tournament there in Southern California where I believe he lives, you know, either part or all of the time. And so he was hosting, I know he lives in Florida too, but this is in Southern California, and hosting a tournament called the Hyundai Genesis Invitational, the Genesis Invitational, I apologize.
Right. No, it is Hyundai, that's okay, you're fine.
Yeah, so he was hosting this tournament, and he had he was there kind of doing a few ads, that sort of thing. Well, supposedly he was kind of, I think, shooting a commercial that morning, and he went and took off for a drive, I think, out of his community or close thereby, and basically ended up in a ditch or kind of a ravine or up on that mountainside. I'm not super familiar with the area, but basically he kind of had a single car accident, went out of control, ended up, you know, off the side of the road and in need of attention. And so by the time they got there, the car was pretty mangled on the front side, and they rushed him into surgery. It was kind of a big deal, and basically he ended up having, I think, a shattered tibia, some shattered ankles, had a problem, and so really just kind of a nasty, nasty wreck. And so we're going to get to the car part of it here in just a second. But the main thing that your listeners need to know is this is a pretty bad deal, especially considering Tiger has come off of, Tiger's been coming off of back surgeries, back injuries, and really of late, you know, he's been dealing with some health stuff. Nothing, you know, super, super serious, so, you know, of course, but when you are a world-class golfer and you are the top of the world, right, and you're dealing with a back issue and such, to come off that, and he's also been dealing with some knee problems and things like that, there's actually going to be a pretty significant issue for him moving forward, and honestly, one that I think folks, I'm optimistic that he can potentially come back from this, Dad. But after doing some more research and looking at what actually occurred, it's going to be unfortunately, it's going to be pretty hard pressed for him to come back at all. And honestly, I think he may be able to play golf again, but to the level
probably not competitively
that he
ever played
before, right? You know, I think it's going to be pretty hard. Now, we say this, but then inevitably these athletes, right, they tend to have a super natural ability to them, right, of recovery. You know, for example, Adrian Peterson, an NFL running back a number of years ago, I think he came back from his ACL in like 6 months or something, which is crazy. Usually it takes 9 months, you know, to heal from a knee injury like that. And he came back in six, and I think he ran 1,600 yards or something. Like, you know, a lot, right? And so a lot of these athletes do have this supernatural healing ability. But, you know, it's kind of a bummer because I know a lot of people hold, you know, what happened to Tiger and with his wife and his personal stuff, you know, over him. But he's a guy that has changed the game. You know, he changed the game of golf. And you can argue, a lot of people are going to argue, you know, whether Jack Nicklaus is better than Tiger or not. And you could certainly still make that argument now today that he is, just based on the tournaments and such. But Tiger changed the game and how we consumed it, right? That he made it fun and cool to be a golfer.
Right.
And so it's kind of, you know.
He brought some fun back into the game, basically.
He did, you know, all the blowhard, you know, old time golf guys, you know, can't celebrate, you know, you just got to go pick up your golf ball and, you know, say see you later, you know, all that sort of stuff. And he just kind of changed that a little bit. And so it's kind of a, an ominous, you know, feeling of like, man, you know, have we seen the last that Tiger Woods is going to hit a golf ball at least professionally? And, you know, thank the Lord, you know, he's okay. You know, he didn't pass away, anything like that. But it's a pretty scary thing of, you know, he's going to kind of have to learn, you know, almost how to rewalk in some sense. And then not to mention, you know, all the swinging. And obviously, if anyone who plays golf knows, you know, when you swing.
It's not just a game of your arms. Your whole body is being used to swing a club correctly.
Yeah, exactly. You're not only your whole body, but exactly, your entire being. You know, your right. ankles get into it, your hips, your everything. And so there's more he can do. You know, he could probably play, around with his son or whatever it might be. I just don't know if he's playing.
The difference there for everybody listening, too, and a lot of you that play golf know this, but those of you maybe that don't, wouldn't. I mean, when you talk about, you know, a normal, you know, bunch of guys that go out, they play 18 holes, it's 4 hours, and they're done. Well, that's great. That's one round of golf, but that's not a professional tournament where those guys will likely for a Sunday event be on the course playing golf Wednesday or Thursday and play every day and all the way through Sunday.
Well, not only that, you know, a lot of, especially for the Masters, you know, the guys are out there Monday, Tuesday getting some practice
rounds.
Right, playing.
Really, that's
Wednesday,
right. Practicing.
Up.
Sorry.
And
yes.
Then, yeah,
yes.
They're playing. You know, what is it, 72 holes essentially over the course of 4 days, you know, on these championship courses and you know, 8,000 yards that you're walking, you know, more than that. You know, on
they're not allowed
basis.
To ride in a cart. So, that's the other thing I think you need to remind everybody of also. They have to walk it. That's part of the rules.
Exactly. And so, again, there has even been some talk, you know, okay, does Tiger here in a few years when he turns 50 go to the senior tour to do that? And honestly, he probably could. And you know, Dad, he certainly could have. I think he may come back and play and at least try it out. And I think he actually may have some success playing because Tiger's kind of like Tom Brady, right? In that, you know, he's adapted his game to fit his style. But the problem is you're not going to see anywhere close to Tiger of old. And that was, you know, that was a far-fetched thing, you know, even before this happened, just because of his back injuries. I mean, you got guys driving the ball, Dad, about 350 yards now. 370 yards, right? You know, so these guys are putting massive amounts of force, club speeds. There's a guy by the name of Bryson DeChambeau, and he's like this big kind of long drive guy to where, you know, he can crush the ball. You know, he's hitting it 350 yards, but he hasn't won nearly as many tournaments because, as you know, with golf, it's not all about the long ball, right? It's, you know, you got to get your iron play there as you're putting.
Right.
And so I think that's why Tiger may have the ability to do some of that, but man, it's going to be a long road back, and it's kind of surreal thinking about that. You know, he's still going to be there, but does he ever come back and play? You know, and then also someone's talking about how long was, you know, in a lot of these cases. So Alex Smith, we've talked about him, the quarterback that was playing for the Chiefs, and he got hurt playing for the Redskins at the time, but the Washington football team, and he basically kind of had a similar injury to his ankle and stuff, and it's taken, I think, took him about 18 months to come back. But keep in mind, he got medical attention right away. With Tiger, he had to actually sit in the car for probably 15 minutes or so, if not more, you know, before they were actually able to pull him out and, you know, yank him out of the windshield and everything else. But that leads to the fact that he wasn't killed, Dad, because he was actually driving a essentially yet-to-be-released SUV.
Right.
That is made by Genesis, which I believe is the SV80, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's correct.
And so it's their new SUV, and it's got, you know, and I actually read some of the stuff. What's funny is some of the tech in it's pretty cool. It's got a center airbag that actually separates the passenger from the driver in the event of a collision, which is really cool. But a lot of the other tech that it's got on it, you know, as far as the lane departure warning, you know, and the frontal collision warning and all that sort of stuff, well, is on there. And I'm sure some people are asking, well, you know, if it had all that tech, you know, what happened? Well, I'll be honest, Dad, and as far as the cause of the accident, I don't think Tiger, you know, was on medication or drunk or anything like that. I think it was probably a classic case of
dinking around.
He was running late.
Yep, dinking around.
I think he was running late, and he was probably looking at his phone, and that stretch of the road is pretty curvy.
Yep.
And so I think, and I was listening to someone, and they've actually been on that road, and they live near there. They think that someone pulled out in front of them, probably in front of him, causing the swerve. It's where he ended up, you know, kind of going all over the place. And so all these safety features that this car has, and while their airbags probably saved his life and how these new cars are made,
right,
and, you know, how the bodies fold up and such, you know, probably saved his life, you know, all of this, it can have all the safety features in the world, but if they're not enabled, and if you're not paying attention, let's be honest, right? That's the end-all, be-all here. If you're not paying attention to what you're doing, no matter who you are and as fancy of a car as you're in,
right,
you know, there's still a likelihood that you end up in a pretty serious accident.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. All right, we're going to come back and talk about a couple of cars as well that we drove. Hang tight. Gino's Auto Services next. Speaking of cars, folks, keep that vehicle in top working order. I said earlier, the best way for you to save money is to keep your vehicle running as long as possible, and you can do that at Gino's Auto Service. They're in Littleton on Bowles and Platte Canyon, right on the corner there. Call them at 303-794-6700 or online, ginosautoservice.com, and ask Gino's with a J.
For over 38 years, Gino's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Gino's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio, and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide peace of mind warranty. Geno's continues to service Larry's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment. And be sure to check out all of their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in or visit them online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Julie says, "Thank you so much for a great experience and your attention to the details. I was truly impressed with what we got for our money." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My son Richard Rush joining us now. All right, let's review a couple of vehicles, Richard, that we've driven here recently. And we'll start off the first one being a 2021 Mercedes-Benz GLS 63, the AMG version of their largest SUV, which I should also make mention. Most people don't know this because you think all Mercedes would come from Germany, but this one actually is assembled. Its final assembly place is in Vance, Alabama, with almost half of the parts coming from Canada or the U.S. So even though it's a German vehicle, a lot of parts are coming locally, which some folks actually out there listening, Richard, really do care about. And by the way, this is a really nice vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one that, you know, similar in the segment we're going to talk about of these performance-based SUVs, right, where a lot of manufacturers are trying to go with electric or, you know, with a smaller gas engine with maybe a little turbo. That's not quite what Mercedes had in mind with this AMG. I believe it's a bi-turbo, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. It's 603 horsepower. And, yeah, this thing is, it's a machine. Let me just tell you what. Now, price tag for everybody listening, sit down. It's $149,740. So it is not just chump change. It's a lot of money. But, you know, this is a vehicle that would probably last most people really as long as they want to drive it until they're ready to drive something else. As far as longevity goes, it's, you know, it most likely would last as long as it is them just because of the way it's built. And I will tell you, at first, I'm just giving you honest opinions. At first, didn't quite like the looks of it. I'm like, it's not quite the sleek Mercedes look that most of us are used to. But I will tell you that after driving it for just a few days and realizing how well it worked, its quietness, the performance of it, I mean, I can go down the list. Just everything that it had going for it, I don't really care what the outside looks like, to be real honest with you. The rest of it overshadowed what I did not care for on the outside, because of just how well the vehicle worked.
Well, and again, the next vehicle we're going to get to here in just a second, Dad, is kind of the raw version of this vehicle.
That's right.
And this is kind of a sleeper SUV, like you say.
Really
you
is.
The looks of it. Drove it just, you know, briefly. You obviously had it most of the time. And like you say, that luxury, you know, high-performance SUV, there's a pretty big market out there, believe it or not, folks. It's a very specific market. But when you get to that class, a lot of folks are looking for the things that the Mercedes offers as far as the infotainment piece and their tech, which really is kind of I'll be honest, that's second to none. They've really made leaps and bounds.
They have.
You know, as far as their tech and such goes. But yeah, as far as the performance and the engine base, lots of folks are looking for that. And again, they don't want, I'll be honest, who's driving that car doesn't want this really gaudy looking car. It's like, man, that thing, you know, really must go. You know, most people, most car lovers that see the AMG are going to say, okay, I know, I understand what's
you know what that's
that
at.
Car.
That's right. That's right.
But that's what this car is designed for. So yeah, seems, again, great car. It was super fun to drive, super fast. Again, worked really, really well, and really, really hard pressed to, I'll be honest, to give it back. It was one of those.
Yes, it is. Yes. No, that was one of those where I did not want to send it back. It's a great vehicle. Yes, the price is high, but again, if you look at this over the longevity of the vehicle, frankly, this will outlast multiple of other vehicles in a lower class. So you'd have to look at all that, weigh it out. And by the way, there are Mercedes-Benz SUVs that are actually higher priced than this, because G-Wagons are about another 100K above this. So this is not the most expensive SUV that Mercedes makes. But hey, go check out one of these if you're interested. And by the way, they make this in the non-AMG version as well, which saves you a lot of money as well. So you can actually go do that at your local Mercedes dealer. Let them know that John and Richard Rush from Drive Radio and Rush to Reason sent you. All right, Richard, let's talk about the next one, which was actually, to your point, kind of a lesser price. It's still an expensive vehicle, a lesser priced version of that GLS 63 Mercedes, but very raw, very wild. And I will just tell you straight up right now that if I had the choice between the Mercedes or the, in this case, Dodge Hellcat version, the Dodge Durango Hellcat version, if I had my choice, I think it'd be the Hellcat.
Well, and again, that's what you see. So that's the difference, right? So you got the bi-turbos, you know, just a little bit over 600 horsepower in the Mercedes. And with the Durango, you've got over 700 horsepower, you know, big V8 with, you know, a supercharger on it, producing over 700 horsepower. And,
right.
and that's what Dodge has done, and they've really done of late. And they're on the right track as far as the American side of stuff goes. And I think, believe it or not, GM's actually not too far behind them and really leaving kind of Ford in the dust as far as doing this to these vehicles. But yeah, we drove the TRX Raptor right a few weeks ago, Dad. This is kind of the follow up. You know, they're doing the same thing, right? Putting the Hellcat engine in their different models. And man, does it work?
So yep.
if you want that, correct me if I'm wrong, close to $80,000.
About $80,000. The only thing this didn't pass is a gas station. I mean that sincerely, because I went all the way up to, you know, the mountains with it and came back. Again, great vehicle, love driving it, but it is not for one of those that is worried about what gas prices are. If you are worried about that, you should probably buy something else. If you don't care, then, you know, more power to you, go buy this. By the way, if you can find one, I did do some checking, and again, the only complaint that I've got on this vehicle right now, Dodge Durango Hellcat, is there are none that I could see in the entire country. Maybe that will change in the coming weeks or months, Richard, but as of right now, the one that I was driving looked like about the only one available to probably drive.
Well, and again, I think that's what Dodge is doing well, and I get LFCA. I think it's Stellantis now. Again, my apologies. I think
that's right.
Purchase,
you're correct.
And so they've done a phenomenal job at really creating a lot of interest in these, but obviously not creating a lot of volume, right? Because they don't necessarily need to. They kind of want to make it a little bit of a collector's item,
a boutique vehicle.
Yeah, exactly. But again, if you're looking for that under the radar, I mean, it's got a different hood on. It looks a little bit more aggressive. But honestly, most people are going to think it's a Dodge Durango
right. Running
down the road. You know, a 7-passenger SUV, you know, to get your kids to and from soccer practice, school, whatever it might be. But then, like you say, Dad, you pull up to, you know, that little whatever car next to you, you know, at the stoplight, and you're like, man, I just want to get up and go.
The Subaru WRX that thinks it can get around you and can't? Yeah, that car.
Exactly, that one. Where they, and it puts you back in your seat. You hear the whine of that supercharger.
It's a great vehicle.
It's a joy to drive.
It's
hard to say this. So yeah, again, a lot of you are going to say, man, well, $80,000, yes, it's a lot for a car, but it works well and it serves a purpose. Again, it wants to serve those people who want to go fast, but still want to have all the utility and everything else that vehicle normally provides.
That's right.
They're just putting a 700 horsepower
That's right.
plus engine underneath the hood.
Now, I would tell you go drive one at your local dealer, but they're not going to have any, so you can look it up online. Go check it out at the Dodge website. You can also go drive a regular Durango and even some of the SRT models. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a Hellcat right now, but keep looking, and it's going to be a great, I think, collector's car on down the road if that's something that you're interested in as well. But again, go check this out at your local Dodge dealer. Tell them that myself, John Rush, and Richard Rush, both from Drive Radio and Rush to Reason, sent you. Anyways, Richard, great vehicle, and that was one I also had a hard time giving back.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I'll be honest, we're still suckers for just a good old-fashioned horsepower and
yep.
be able to, you know, as guys, right, we don't need much in the world except to, you know, press that gas pedal and be put in the back of your
seat right.
a little
and
bit.
That's right, and just go. All right,
good.
I'll leave you with that, Richard. It's always fun. We'll talk to you Friday.
Sounds good to you.
All right, see you then. And by the way, it's Richard's birthday tomorrow, so a little early happy birthday to my son, Richard. I didn't get a chance to say that when he was actually on air, but happy birthday to him. His birthday is tomorrow. I'll mention that when we're on air for sure. Andy and I will. But Bruce Simmons is next for his reverse mortgage specialist. Anything you need in a reverse mortgage, give Bruce a call today. 303-467-7821.
You want to work with Bruce Simmons because you can trust him. Bruce is usually the only person you'll talk to throughout the entire process. He's the one who meets with you and your family to explain the loan. He's the person you call with questions. He answers his phone himself every time. He personally attends all of his own closings. He'll even stay in touch after the loan closes in case you have more questions. John Rush recommended Bruce Simmons to his own mom and dad because he wanted them to work with someone local, someone who had specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages for more than 18 years, someone who would guarantee their fees so the cost would never exceed what he quoted them at the beginning. Plus, John really likes and believes in Bruce. You already know you don't want to work with a national company because you prefer a more personal approach. So choose someone you'll enjoy working with and can trust completely. Find KLZ's Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And real quick, back to the new car reviews. We review cars all the time, by the way. And, we know a lot of you will not buy these cars new. You will wait and buy these used down the road a couple of years. If you ever have a question on a vehicle to buy, and again, Purefoy Chevrolet can get you any used car for the most part. So if you've ever got a question on a vehicle, doesn't matter what product line it is, because we know there's multiples out there, please let myself or Richard know. We'd love to answer those questions for you. Hour number three is next. Don't go anywhere. Kurt Rogers is going to give us our Monday Mortgage Minute, and then we're going to talk to Daniel Turner right after that. We'll be back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.